MSW Media. Thanks to Thuma for supporting the Daily Beans. Create that feeling of checking into your favorite hotel, but at home with the bed by Thuma. Go to thuma.co/beans and use code BEANS to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental U.S. Hello, and welcome to the Daily Beans for Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. Today, the January 6th committee subpoenas Wisconsin GOP leader targeted by Trump. The White House caller to a 1-6 rider is identified by CNN. Oath Keeper Kelly Sorrell texted Andrew Giuliani and attempted to text the White House switchboard in the months leading up to the attack on the Capitol. And text messages show Brett Favre also sought welfare money for a football facility. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Welcome back and Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you so much. I flew and surprised my entire family. I didn't tell anyone I was going. I was there for 24 hours. So thank you for giving me the new year off. And everyone was elated. My heart's full and I'm back. So thank you for that. And thanks for the beans. And anyone out there who celebrates the new year, Shana Tova to you and to those who love us. Thank you very much.
I love you. And I'm going to take a quick left turn here. I don't even have a segue to go from Happy New Year to Brett Favre.
Oh my God, there isn't one because he's apparently kind of a fucker, we're finding out.
And the difference in the way the media treats him versus Colin Kaepernick is astounding.
Oh, yep.
It just keeps getting worse and worse, and it needs to be treated as such by the mainstream media. After Mississippi spent millions of dollars in welfare money on his pet project, a university volleyball arena, where his daughter played volleyball, he tried 2 years later to get additional cash from the state's welfare agency for another sports facility. This is according to new court documents. The governor at the time, Republican Phil Bryant, texted in 2019 with Favre, who wanted to build an indoor practice facility for the University of Southern Mississippi's football team. Bryant told him federal money for children and low-income adults is tightly controlled and improper use could result in violation of federal law. Text messages between Bryant and Favre are in court documents filed Friday by Bryant's lawyers. So this just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
I hope he's in a lot of trouble for this. I mean, the fact that it even happened, especially someone who's making multi-millions of dollars, use some of your own fucking money and put it toward the football facility, jerk.
Yeah. Call it the Brett Favre football facility.
Seriously.
For Southern Mississippi. Like, what the hell, bro? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have any money. Maybe he's lying about it, just like Trump. Who knows?
Who knows?
We do have a lot of other important news to get to today, but I just had to point that out because it's sickening to me how he seems to be getting off the hook for this. I hope there are criminal charges filed. There really need to be. But we do have, like I said, that other news. So let's hit the hot notes.
Hot notes.
All right, this is from Hugo Lowell at The Guardian, our good friend. The White House switchboard dialed a phone associated with a January 6th rioter after it was clear the Capitol attack had failed to prevent the congressional certification of Biden's victory. And that's from a new book by Denver Riggleman, a former Republican congressman and former House January 6th Select Committee advisor. He says the connection was an outgoing call routed through the switchboard at 4:34 p.m., and it was answered by an unnamed rioter who allegedly has since been charged by the Justice Department with a role in storming the Capitol. Riggleman's book, it's called The Breach, was reviewed by The Guardian in advance of its scheduled publication, which is today, Tuesday. And it has already become controversial. But in describing his work for the investigation, Riggleman, and how he led a team analyzing call detail records, he offers previously unreported details about the White House calls around January 6th, as well as the contacts around Trump's political operatives, including Roger Stone and Alex Jones. The White House switchboard call was identified because call detail records give information about seizure times that indicate whether a call is answered. In this case, the book says there was a seizure time indicating the call was completed. Riggleman also details other instances of connections between the White House and people connected to the attack on the Capitol, saying that before January 6th, the president of an organization known as Latinos for Trump, closely connected to the Proud Boys, also received a call from the White House. Latinos for Trump president Bianca Gracia has a total of 5 connections with the White House. 5.
Wow.
She was in the parking garage, by the way, that night with Stuart Rhodes on January 5th and Enrique Tarrio. The significance of the calls was not immediately clear. Sources close to the select committee have insisted investigators chased down the leads uncovered by Riggleman and his team, but the panel could not conclusively determine the call's content or whether their nature was nefarious. It just happens to be a phone call from the White House to
a writer. No, it's cool. Cool.
People involved in the Capitol. I'm sure it's cool. They were just, you know, Postmates. They were just getting Postmates.
They were just calling to see if the gift shop was open, AG. We've covered this.
Well, that's what I do when I really want to get a notebook that says Congress on it. I call up the White House and I see if the, Despite being close with the former Proud Boys national chairman, Tario, and meeting with him in that parking garage, like I said, Gracia was also chief of staff for Latinos for Trump. Therefore, Gracia's calls may have been innocuous. Among other explanations, the sources said, was she may have been in touch with a person on the Trump campaign or a person helping organize the Ellipse rally, or perhaps the White House may have reached Gracia when she had a tour of the complex around Christmas. She toured the complex. Interesting. The book also describes some of the sources and methods Riggleman used to create phone link maps of persons of interest in the investigation, including the extensive effort to try to unravel who Stone was talking with in the post-2020 election period. Stone was one of the more than 20 high-priority targets, but the panel faced an uphill battle, the committee, identifying his contacts after he refused to voluntarily allow them to get his call records, forcing investigators to work backwards through associates. The select committee was able to construct a detailed map of Stone's contacts after obtaining the call detail records of Kristen Davis, also known as the Manhattan Madam, who was with Stone at the Willard in D.C. on January 5th.
That's the worst game of Clue I've ever heard.
Yes, indeed. Now, after investigators identified Stone's number, the book says, they compiled an intriguing map. Stone called Tario both before and after January 6th. He called former Oath Keepers Chief Stuart Rhodes 9 days after the riot. Both have since been charged with seditious conspiracy. The number for Stone also connected to a number of prominent Republicans that the January 6th committee believes played different roles in Trump's efforts to overturn the results, including Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, and Arthur Schwartz, an aide to Donald Trump, and Don Jr. Schwartz has denied any such role. Riggleman, co-authoring the book with journalist Hunter Walker for the publisher Macmillan, also uses the book to characterize the former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows as being the center of the efforts to stop the certification of Biden's win. And this is after going through thousands of texts he provided to the Select Committee. Though most of the texts sent to and from Meadows that the book includes have previously been reported by CNN and others, the book fills in some gaps about the effort to object to the certification, as well as the additional role played by members of Congress, Republicans. So lots of stuff in this book. And you know, you don't have to buy it. All of the important information will come out in the news from our friends like Kyle Chidi and Hugo Lowell. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And AG, speaking of that phone call we just talked about from the White House, at 4:34, see, you take one day off and everything's turned around.
That's all right.
At 4:34 p.m. on January 6th, the cell phone registered to a Capitol rioter who had stormed the building received a phone call from a White House landline. That's according to CNN. The call lasted only 9 seconds, which is very odd. Who placed the call and why remains a mystery, but it's noted as the only known call made from the White House to the phone of a rioter during this critical time period, which I think is really funny that they even have to say that. According to the records, the call came from 202-456-1414. I don't know why they did that, because I feel like everyone now is going to call this number. That's the publicly available number for the White House. So if you didn't have it before, you have it now. Like many businesses, outgoing calls from the White House do not show a specific extension. The call was placed in the late afternoon, shortly after former Trump posted a video. I hate calling him the former president. He posted a video message on social media telling the rioters at the Capitol, go home. We love you. You're very special. At 4:17. I know my Trump impression's awful. I'm okay with that. It's unclear what, if any, connection exists between the White House and the rioter, including whether the call was made by mistake or whether the call went to a voicemail. Right. Just accidentally called a rioter. The call was first disclosed by Denver Riggleman, as we spoke about in the last story, in an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes. Riggleman is a former Republican congressman who left his job working as a technical advisor for the January 6th committee in April. And CNN first learned about the call earlier this year and is revealing the writer's identity for the first time. So the cell phone belonged to 20. This is, they buried the lead pretty far into the story. The cell phone belonged to a 26-year-old Trump supporter from Brooklyn named Anton Lunick. who traveled to Washington, D.C. the night before January 6th with two of his friends, Francis Connor and Antonio Ferrigno. That's according to multiple sources. So this has been confirmed, familiar with the investigation as well as a search of public records. Now, the three men attended the, quote, Stop the Steal rally on the Ellipse, and then along with hundreds of thousands, it shouldn't be hundreds, hundreds of others, entered and illegally demonstrated inside the Capitol. Charge they pleaded guilty to in April and were sentenced to earlier this month. And attorneys for all three of these men had declined to talk to CNN about that. Now, according to multiple sources familiar with the investigation, Lunick says he doesn't remember receiving the 9-second call and claims he doesn't know anyone who worked in the Trump White House. Hmm. Now, according to a source familiar with the committee's work, the committee continues to investigate the phone call, but thus far has been unable to discover who placed it or why. Now, any call from a White House landline to a writer's cell phone is bound to attract a great deal of attention, AG, but unless Lunick or the person who placed the call comes forward at this point, the call's contents or possibly significance, we're not going to know. I mean, it's going to remain a mystery until someone decides they're going to get drunk in a bar and be like, you know who called me during the January 6th insurrection? The White House?
That would be great if it was Papadopoulos.
Oh, it'd be so good. Except he wouldn't be able to get that Papa Snuffleupagus.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, just, you know, could have been an accident, whatever. But yeah, we'll probably never know.
I mean, who among us hasn't butt dialed a writer at the January 6th?
From the White House.
I know.
Right. I mean, it happens all the time to me, honestly.
I mean, have you seen Trump's interview, the last interview? I don't know if he's hiding those documents, but something, he could have butt dialed someone. That thing was, I'm not body shaming. That was an interesting photo.
Rudy is pretty good at butt dialing people. Maybe he accidentally called from a landline. Yeah, I don't.
Rudy's. Oh, man.
He sat on the landline phone.
Oh. It'd be even better if it was a rotary.
Yeah.
Because that would have taken some time and effort.
That's talent.
For those of you listening that don't know what a rotary phone is, it's a phone that used to be attached to your wall that you couldn't walk around the house with, and it had little circles you would put your finger in and rotate.
And the 9 took forever. Ugh.
Yeah, don't have an emergency. 911 was not going to get there in time.
And more news from the Riggleman book. A high-ranking member of the far-right Oath Keepers organization who had been charged in connection with January 6th exchanged text messages in November 2020 with Andrew Giuliani about election issues. The same Oath Keeper member, Kelly Sorrell, who, by the way, was also in the parking garage on January 5th with Gracia and Tario and Stuart.
There was a lot of people in that parking garage.
Also tried to text the White House on December 20th, according to this new book from Denver Riggleman. That text message went to the White House switchboard line, so it could not be delivered because it's a landline. Riggleman told NBC News he had divulged the details of text messages in his book so that reporters would follow up on some of the crucial evidence that had not been made public. Sorrell, who was a volunteer for Lawyers for Trump, a coalition of lawyers that was put together ahead of the 2020 election, told NBC News she was in touch with Andrew Giuliani, who was a White House public liaison assistant during his administration. He was a White House aide. He is also the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, as we know. Sorrell said she only recalled being in touch with Andrew Giuliani in November 2020, but said she could not check because the FBI seized her phone in September of 2021, and she also confirmed her December attempt to text the White House, which makes me wonder if Andrew Giuliani butt-dialed the rioter.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
That would be intense.
It's also not that far-fetched.
No, I know. Anything is possible. The revelation of the text messages adds to a growing web of links between people close to the former guy and his advisors and fringe groups charged in connection with the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and several other members are set to go to trial this week. Jury selection begins today in their seditious conspiracy case. It's anticipated to last 6 weeks.
All right, AG, thank you. And the last story in the segment, the January 6th committee subpoenaed Robin Voss. And that is the Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, who was targeted by Donald. Now, last weekend, for testimony about a phone call he received from the former president in July. Okay, so Robin was targeted by Donald. Donald gave him a buzz. The panel is seeking Voss's testimony by Monday, but the Wisconsin lawmaker is suing to block the subpoena. Okay. Now, in the lawsuit, Voss attached a letter from Rep. Benny Thompson, who's just fucking badass, killing it, the chair of the January 6th committee, seeking his testimony. Now, Thompson cited Trump's efforts to pressure Voss into changing the 2020 election results in Wisconsin. following the state Supreme Court's decision in July to restrict the use of absentee ballot drop boxes in future elections. Future elections. Now, after Voss reportedly told Trump that following through on his demand would be unlawful, Voss was like, this isn't fucking legal, dude. The former president posted derogatory comments aimed at Voss and endorsed his challenger in the GOP primary. Now, let me repeat that. He attacked him just like Ted Cruz, but this guy's still licking his boots and will not. I don't know if he's licking his boots, but he's defying the subpoena. He's probably fucking scared at this point. And this is a quote. The circumstances and details regarding your interactions with former President Trump related to the 2020 election are relevant to the Select Committee's investigation and proposed recommendation. That's what Benny Thompson wrote. Now, NBC News has reached out for the committee for comment. Voss is suing the committee to bar it from enforcing its subpoena, which was first reported by Politico. The Wisconsin speaker argues that the subpoena imposes an undue burden by demanding his compliance on short notice. I just don't understand these people. The Trumps went after, endorsed his opponent, and this guy is still like, oh, this is going to put me out a little bit. I'm not sure.
Yeah, oh, but I still like his shoes. I don't understand. All right, that is the news for today. And I'm just going to double check one more time to see if we have any other breaking news, because it was kind of a slow news Monday, I got to say. I mean, yeah. That's a lot of crimes. But that's it. That's what's happening.
I mean, other than NASA slamming a spacecraft into an asteroid, part of me is
that's
like...
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. But I mean, if we keep this shit up, part of me is maybe they should just let the asteroid stay on course.
Yeah, so it's like a double asteroid, and the smaller one is the size of like a high school track, and they're slamming a bus-sized spacecraft into it. It's taken a year to get to it.
And I mean, it's pretty fucking cool.
And they're seeing if they can alter its orbit, which might alter the course of the whole asteroid. Now, of course, this asteroid's not headed toward us, but, you know, for the future.
Yeah, to protect the Earth. This is part of, I don't know, is this part of Space Force? I don't even want to ask. It's still NASA, people. It's still NASA.
Yeah, it might be a private company contracted, but it's still that's just totally cool. Like, we're going to see if we can change the course of an asteroid by slamming a rocket into it. I think that's just the coolest thing. We'll see what happens.
It is very cool.
All right, we got some good news right around the corner, but we have to take a quick break, so stay with us.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's AG for the Beans, and you should be listening to the Midas Touch podcast. It is three brothers, Ben, Brett, and Jordy, all good friends of mine, who started a political movement fighting for democracy. They've released several viral videos, as you know, eventually hitting over 2 billion with a B views. And now they host the Midas Touch podcast twice a week. It's a great show. You probably already heard them when you tuned in for our live show at the Largo in Los Angeles. And they are helping us raise money for How We Win, which is a fund we're using to ensure victory in the midterms. Unapologetically pro-democracy with no bullshit, the Midas Touch podcast has the top politicians and change makers as guests on their show. It's informative. It's highly entertaining. I love listening to it. It delves into today's most important social and political issues, especially ones that are ignored by the mainstream media. I really enjoy how they're able to deliver the news with sincerity, humor, and brotherly love, which can sometimes be roasts. Midas Touch is a network partner of MSW Media. You can listen to the Midas Touch podcast on the Midas Media Network and find out why it's one of the top news podcasts in America and the world. Subscribe now to the Midas Touch podcast. That's MEIDASTOUCH, wherever podcasts are available. And today's show is also brought to you by Thuma. Your bedroom deserves a refresh. And now is the perfect time to elevate the most essential room in your home with Thuma. Thuma practices an intentional less is more design philosophy for the bedroom. With clean lines, subtle curves, and lifestyle-enhancing details, Thuma proves that simplicity is truly the best form of sophistication. I recently purchased The Bed by Thuma. It's handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood. It's got beautiful, unique variations in the grain. I love it. The minimalist design features Japanese joinery, and it helps elevate my bedroom to the next level. And it's super supportive for your mattress. It's breathable. It's made naturally to minimize noise, and it creates space. The Bed by Thuma is backed with a lifetime warranty, ships right to your door in 3 easy-to-maneuver boxes, and takes about 5 minutes or so to assemble with no tools required. Along with the bed, Thuma offers other bedroom essentials to elevate bedtime. They have the nightstand, the side table, and the tray. They're all perfect complements to the bed, so you can create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel, but at home, with The Bed by Thuma. Right now, go to thuma.co/beans to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental U.S. Again, that's thuma.co/beans, thuma.co/beans for a $25 credit. Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Who likes good news? Everyone? Then good news, everyone.
Good news, good news. And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, pod pet photos, adoptable pets in your area, shit kids say, shit adults say, shit you said. Anything you want to send to us. I love Halloween photos. It's almost that time of year. I will take them. I will take them all year. But anytime you want to send me any holiday photos, as a matter of fact, you can do so at dailybeanspod.com. Click on contact. That's how you get your good news to us. Dana, I'm going to kick us off with a quick entry from Cheryl P. No pronouns given. Greetings from Gilead, Texas. I want to share a funny picture of my two dogs. Latte is the pug and Churro is the chihuahua. I hope this picture makes you smile.
Oh, it does indeed.
I want to scratch the chesties of that pug. I want to boop the nose of the chihuahua.
Oh my God, they're really adorable, both of them.
They are so cute. That was short, so I'm going to hit us up with the next one. Sandy, pronoun she and her. What the mutt? I do training and behavior work with dogs in Central Texas. What a cool job. One of only two positive reinforcement trainers in our area. That's too bad. They need to be more. I have a client who was on a drive in the middle of nowhere in Texas and came upon a dog covered in mud. Therefore, her name is Mud. She was in bad shape, though, untrusting and reactive to all around her. This great couple who found her knew they would be moving to San Francisco in about a year, so we went to work getting her ready for their new adventure. They are now settled in and loving it. If you see Mud, she's super friendly and always ready for any goodie you might have. Can you guess Mud's mix? Oh, look at Mud.
Oh, she looks like a shepherd. And
a shepherd, a Great Dane, maybe? Something with the ears. Like, that's a Great Dane type ear, you know?
Yeah.
More wide set like that on a shepherd dog.
There's a little bit of a mastiff face, but I don't think she's big enough for a mastiff. I don't know.
All right, let's see what we've got here. I thought German Shepherd mix, but she is Akita, Husky, and Boxer.
Wow. Whoa. Well, she sure is cute.
No Chow Chow in there, huh?
No Chow Chow. Well, we don't know. All right.
Absolutely beautiful dog, though. Thank you.
We don't talk about the Chow Chow. This next one's from Anonymous, pronouns she and they. Hey, Beans, Queens, and listeners. Back in March, I wrote in thanking the Beans for giving me something to listen to as I took afternoon walks while recovering from my broken ankle. It's been a long journey, and I've been documenting my recovery on Twitter, which is hashtag Road to Berlin. And now I have great news. Drumroll, please. I'm back running again. I ran the Berlin Marathon this weekend, 250 days after breaking my ankle. No PR for me, but I'm really pleased with how I did since this is my first race since everything. And their time was 4 hours, 45 minutes, 13 seconds. Also, wow. I ran the same race as one of my running inspirations, Eliud Kipchoge.
I don't know.
I'm so sorry. Anonymous, I would love to know how to say this name.
Eliud Kipchoge, maybe? Yeah.
Who just broke his world record.
World record?
Wow.
Holy crap.
Anyway, wanted to update everyone and say I'm still listening every afternoon before I run. Love you all, and thanks for the work you do. I want to try this name one more time. Eliud? I feel like those little monsters on the electric company. Eliud? bring radio. Eliud? Kipchoge. Yep.
Sesame Street aliens. Oh,
telephone. Oh my God, I love the aliens. They're my favorite.
They are so great. Oh, look at these great photos. That's so good.
Congratulations, Anonymous.
That's so great. Congrats. All right, next up from Kent, pronouns he and him. Hello, ladies. Relatively new to the pod and loving it. Based on your recent recommendation, I did go back and listen to the January 5th, 2021. I almost said 1921.
Yeah, it feels like that.
2021 pod. Yeah, you nailed it. And the dildo story, I was cry laughing. Attached are photos of Max. He adopted my husband and I about 8 years ago. He's named after then Detroit Tigers pitcher. He's on the New York Mets now. You may notice a resemblance. We were told by the foster that he was a Rottie and an Aussie Shepherd. During COVID boredom, had a DNA test done on Max. He is, in fact, mostly Boxer with some Bulldog and a hint of Rottweiler. Keep up the good work, and I'll help spread the word.
Oh, my God. Oh. I love that with the eyes. That's brilliant.
Oh. Heterochromia is the term for David Bowie eyes, in case anyone is interested. Look at this.
Oh my goodness, and that little underbite.
I know. It's such
the dog, not the pitcher, just to be clear. The
pitcher, I'm sure, has great teeth.
I'm sure the pitcher has great teeth. Yep. Okay. Thank you so much. And this is from Larry, pronounce he, him. Dear Beans Queens, like many of your listeners, I've been a patron. A patron. I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover. Hold on. Okay. Like many of your listeners, I've been a patron for years because it's totally... Can you take over for me?
Because it's totally worth it. I'm smarter and a little more sensitive to issues I otherwise may have ignored, thanks to Mueller, she wrote in the Daily Beans. Thank you, Larry. A few months ago, I felt even more connected. You had Daniel Duncan on, who's running for state senator for District 14 in South Carolina. My grandparents and all five of my grandfather's siblings settled in the area. As a kid, we would visit almost every Christmas, and I went to 8th and 9th grades in public school in the district. At 13 and 14, I worked 2 days a week at my great uncle's farm. In my later teens, for the summers, I would stay with my grandmother and work as a lifeguard at various YMCA-managed pools. I was not politically aware at the time, but I got to look around. I've seen the difference between rich and poor, and those experiences have informed the opinions I hold today. Even though I can't vote for him, I'm rooting for Daniel Duncan. Awesome. Another hero, I mean Shiro, I would like to shout out is Katie Forte, my sister-in-law, running in Southern Indiana's District 47. It's a recently gerrymandered district. The MAGA dude would be running unopposed if she hadn't entered the race. She's doing this in addition to my brother and her raising a family of three school-aged kids. So naturally, I'm rooting for Katie Forte. She's giving it 110%. Thanks to Allison and Dana for all you do. Podcasting is hard. I tried it. And all the past guest hosts that I also love. You're making a difference. For Pet Tax, that's Jake in the Park. He followed my wife home several years ago and has been a trusted family member ever since.
Look at Jake. Oh my God. So sweet, AG, thank you for taking over. I just had a wonderful moment of laughter, which we all need. This next one is from Bob Duff. No pronouns on Bob. Hi, it's Bob Duff, Senate Majority Leader in Connecticut. Well, hi, Bob. I'm a newer podcast listener and immediately found Daily Beans. Thank goodness. I love Daily Beans since you are always timely with the fast-moving news cycle. You explain things well and are passionate about saving our democracy, which is the issue in 2022. We can't tackle climate change, abortion rights, or gun violence prevention without a functioning democracy. Fun fact is last Sunday, I was actually looking forward to Monday solely on the notion that I'd hear a new episode of the Daily Beans. That's 100% true. Thank you, Bob. I generally listen to you when I'm out for a run or walking my rescue dog, Molly. She's our third rescue, and my wife and I always adopt pitties as our small way of showing the world that they're good dogs, gentle and kind. This was even more symbolic when our kids were small. Molly has better name recognition than me. Here's a picture of us on Friday night after my run, her walk, and the last few minutes of the show. Thank you both for standing up to the bullies, speaking the truth, and having good days when the bad guys have bad days. And I have had some good days. Yes, your work helps sustain our democracy and makes me happy because it proves we have lots of people in the trenches willing to do the hard work.
Look at this.
Bob Duff, thank you so much. And that pity is gorgeous.
Senate Majority Leader in Connecticut, everybody.
I love it.
How cool.
Very cool.
And this pity.
I like having fans in high places.
This dog is beautiful.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
So awesome. Thank you so much. And thanks for everything you're doing. Senate Majority Leader in Connecticut, Bob Duff. That's incredible. I'm so happy you contacted us. Thank you so much. And everybody, please send in your good news. You can do so by going to dailybeanspod.com. Dana, do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here today?
I do not. Thank you very much for asking.
You want to talk about patrons?
Oh, patrons. Patrons. I mean, I think those are French fans. That's patrons.
It's Patron. It's tequila.
Oh, man. That was a good laugh for me, though. Whew, thanks for taking over. I hope you guys got one out of it, too.
You're welcome. Whew. And thank you so much, everybody. We will be back in your ears tomorrow with more news as it breaks with swearing. Until then, please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Take care of the planet. Take care of your mental health. Vote blue over Q.
And please take someone with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg and Amy Carrero.
Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joelle Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit MSWmedia.com.
MSW Media.